are listening to episode one of Girls Gone Wad. I am Joy from joyinthedaycom.
And I'm Claire from the Ascent blog. And we're really excited that you guys are joining us.
Welcome. Welcome to episode one. Woohoo! Okay, so we're going to talk about ourselves, our lives, CrossFit, why we think CrossFit's important, why we started this podcast, and women, and all of the above. So where should we start, Claire?
Well, let's just start with the basics. Why don't we?
What are the basics?
Well, I'll start, I guess. My name is Claire. I am 25 years old. I'm Sagittarius. And which is
very a redhead.
And a redhead. I'm a redhead.
She's an adorable redhead, fellas, but she's not she's not available.
Not available, sorry.
She has somebody put a ring on it.
It's true. I grew up in Boulder, Colorado. And yeah, I started CrossFitting a little over a year ago. It was a year in March.
Why did you start CrossFitting?
Oh, because I sucked at being active. I don't really know why I started CrossFitting, like, per se, other than that I'd heard a lot of fun things about it. But do you want the long story?
Give me some cliff notes.
Cliff notes? Pretty much cliff notes would be that I was a raft guide for a long time, and then I was a backpacking guide, and then I was a ski bum, and then I moved to Denver so that Brandon, my fiancé, the guy who put a ring on it, could go back to school. And then all of a sudden we were like, wow, we don't do anything ever anymore after having, like, lived in Moab, which we loved, and I'll talk about more later, and done everything all the time. And then we came to Denver and we're like, wow, we can't do everything all the time because we live in the city. And so we found CrossFit so that it would, like, sort of inject our lives with a little bit of activity again.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I basic it?
Yeah, you go now.
Should I get my basic on? started CrossFit a couple years ago, and
You forgot the first two questions.
What?
What's your name? How old are you? And where are you from?
Virgo, Joy, Denver. I grew up in Arizona and then moved here about 10 years ago, 11 years ago, and so I live in Denver as well. And started CrossFit 2.5-3 years ago. Kind of on the same thing. Like, I was doing running. I've always been super, super active, but one of my friends kind of introduced me to it and said, oh, I think you'd really like this. Tried it. My first workout was, I believe it was Helen. Do you remember your first WOD?
Outside of the elements class?
Yeah.
It wasn't a benchmark.
Oh. Yeah.
But our first WOD with elements was Tabata squats.
Okay.
And I couldn't walk for 3 days.
Yeah. Squats are no joke. Might I add that Claire gave me this, first of all, we're both drinking alcoholic beverages. And Claire gave me the most amazing koozie that, it's a slapper koozie.
It's a slap bracelet.
It's a slap bracelet koozie.
It's a koozie. It's pretty much like a combination. So, like, imagine a slap bracelet that was, like, what, maybe 3 or 4 inches high?
Yeah.
That was made out of neoprene. Yep. And that's what this thing is. And it's amazing.
And the best part of it is when they handed, Brandon and Claire handed me the beer, they handed me the slap koozie. Opened and said, you need to slap it. So I had to full on slap the beer. They weren't going to do it for me. They were full on going to say, slap that bitch.
It's an interactive experience, that koozie. It's great.
So yes, I started, Helen was my first. Yeah. So my first WOD was Helen.
So which one is Helen?
I believe it involves pull-ups.
Running and kettlebell swings, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so. So, I just remember thinking, I can't breathe, and then I was coughing for a few days. But then I was hooked because the gene kicked in where I was, right, like, addicted and freaking out over it. So now I'm at CrossFit J, so that's where we work out, is CrossFit J, and we'll put a link to that in the show notes.
Let's see. Why is doing CrossFit important to you? Why is it important for you to be active and be healthy in the first place?
Yeah, that's really weird. So, that's not a weird question. It's just, I don't know why. It's just, I've always been that way. So I remember in college I got super, super active, and then why CrossFit, right? Mm. So I've been one of those people where I've always, like, gone to a Globo gym, and I hate that people use that term still, but it's like a Globo gym. And, I even teach spinning classes there. Mm-hmm. So I'm still, like, in the world, but I never liked the little, like, tiny gyms that I'd see on the road. Mm-hmm. Not CrossFit, just, like, the little tiny gyms. I'd be like, why would anyone go to a small gym?
Right.
And, like, pay more? And then when CrossFit came along, I was like, I'm totally doing that.
So why did you think that, though? Like, what was your first, what sucked you in?
Sucked me into
CrossFit? What caught your eye?
Well, I was kind of doing, like ghetto CrossFit out of my friend's, like, like, garage.
Okay.
And he, at one point, he was like, you need to, like, move on and, like, actually go to a CrossFit box because we didn't have the equipment that was, like, you know, to able, we were, like, doing, like, kettlebell swings with, like, weights, like, an actual, like, free weight. And, no pull-up bar. I mean, there's a lot of, well, it was just, it was just really, really ghetto. So, anyway, so then I was running one day. I was training for a half marathon, and I was running down the street here, Claire and I live very close together, and saw CrossFit J, and I'm like, oh my God, there's a CrossFit gym right down the street from my house, and I ran by it, and I, like, looked inside, and no one was there, and so then I Googled it, and then I just took a class, and it was over. And I think, like everyone, you fall in love with the people, you fall in love with the intimate classes, and we have a really small, our gym is pretty small, so we have really small classes, and just the whole vibe of it is, like, if you do CrossFit, you know what we're talking about. It's really, really inclusive and supportive, and I'm not one who needs a ton of motivation to work out, but I think that's a huge piece of it, is the accountability, and you kind of compete with each other, and I'm, like, uber competitive.
So did you do sports then before starting CrossFit? Or were you in, like, sports in college and high school?
What do you think? What do you think?
Yes, I think you absolutely did.
What do you think I did? Which is, you're totally going to be wrong, but I'm excited to hear what you think.
Oh, I'm so excited. Now I want to guess, like, what I don't think you did so that I will be right.
Yeah,
what
do you think? Totally go against the grain.
Were you on, like, the drill team?
Define drill team.
Did you twirl a baton? Is that a yes?
No, close. I was on the dance team.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Like palms?
Like palms and
that's
everything.
That's amazing.
I was a cheerleader my entire life. I never did any group sports because I was too freaked out. Like, I was one of those kids that I, like, started playing soccer, and then I freaked out because it was too much pressure for me.
Okay.
So then dance was, like, a safe thing for me. And I so wish my parents would have pushed me to do, like, swimming or volleyball or something, because
you look like a swimmer.
Everyone at, I can't even, I, if I had a, if I had a quarter for every time somebody asked me that.
If you were a swimmer.
Or a volleyball player.
You guys should see Joy's power shoulders.
Yeah. They're pretty large.
They've got some power in there.
We may put a photo up of them. On the blog. I could never do organized sports because I was too freaked out as a kid. The pressure just, like, completely freaked me out. I always admired the badass chicks who could play, like, softball, because I'm like, I would have, like, peed my pants trying to stand there and hit a ball. So dance was super safe for me, and cheer was super safe for me because it was, like, a group thing. Dance and cheer. And I did ballroom dancing as well in college. So, I mean, I've done it all.
Competitive
ballroom dancing? And I was...
Shut the front door.
I swear to you.
That is amazing.
I swear to you.
Oh, I believe you.
Oh, I can cha-cha like no one's business.
I'm pretty sure I've never met anyone who said that before.
Yeah. I competed in Vegas.
No, you did not. Do you have outfits left over?
I don't have outfits, but I... And then, you want to hear something else?
Is this why you... No. Wait, is that why you wear glitter? Is this a relic from your ballroom dancing days? Mm-hmm. Amazing.
I think...
Oh, my God.
Nobody knows. Nobody should know this. Okay. But now that it's all out.
You can't take it back.
If anyone wants to Google Super Bowl 30 halftime show.
No, you are not. Are we going to put a link to that?
I don't know if there's a video of it, you guys. I really don't.
You've never Googled it?
This is before YouTube.
Super
Bowl 30 was in 1995?
Yeah, no, 96? There has to be a link.
And I was in the halftime show with Diana Ross. Thank you very much.
No, you are not.
Yeah.
Was it just you?
No.
Oh.
There was a ton of dancers, but that's my claim to fame. I rehearsed with Diana Ross, and she was really, really mean to everyone, and she was like, you know, there was a fan broken on the stage when we were rehearsing, and she, all I remember is her, like, standing on the stage, and she had this gorgeous long hair, like, you know, Diana Ross hair, right? And she had these long, like, fang nails, and she just kept, like, pushing her hair back
with her nails.
And if you saw me right now, I'm making the, like, I have, like, claws out.
My mom and I call those Mimi hands, because I have a grandmother named Mimi. But it's, like, the like, hand motion that you make when your nails are wet and you can't touch anything. Totally. And you're, like, trying to do everything with, like, the heel of your hand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's exactly what she was doing, and she was just, like, brushing her hair back, and then she'd be like, if we're not going to rehearse it exactly how it's going to be, why do it at all? And I remember someone in the crowd, like a fellow dancer, was like, you go, Miss Ross.
You're like, don't encourage her.
I'm like, stop. But
what song was it? Was it a montage?
Oh, it was a montage. Obviously. It was a montage. And she came in on she left on a helicopter. She was she was lifted out of there via helicopter.
That's amazing.
And I remember she like got in and like slipped her hands through these like these leather straps so she didn't fall. And I remember her like waving through these straps. Vivid memories, obviously.
Oh my gosh.
This
is amazing.
Yeah.
This is like treasure trove material. I can't believe you were in the halftime show. That's amazing. Wow.
If anyone wants to find that video.
Super Bowl
XXX.
Interesting. Wow. Who played in that Super Bowl?
I think it was the Cowboys and who knows else. That's, okay. I just remember Cowboys because I was like, oh my god, Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. Oh my god. Yeah, because I was a cheerleader and I was like, oh my god. OMG, that was like that was never my dream goal.
Right, to be an NFL cheerleader.
No. But I did try out for the Suns. Okay, so we're going off to I tried. By then, the shoulders were taking over, the hamstrings were getting too tight. It was like the muscles were starting to take over my body. It was not a good path.
That's so funny.
That
is so funny. I never played sports when I was little. No, that's not true. Hold on, wait. I played soccer. So I have a twin brother.
We both have twin brothers.
Crazy. I have a twin brother, and his name is James, and we played on, you know, like little kid co-ed soccer team together. And I would sit down in the middle of the field and make dandelion crowns.
Wait, what are dandelions? Like
a dandelion chain.
I thought you were like making like snow angels. No, but that's what you call.
No, like dandelion chains that you put on your head.
Yeah.
And so I was pretty much politely asked by my coach to not attend the games. James could still go to the games. But yeah, so it's sort of like the equivalent of getting kicked off your team. Aww. So I stopped playing sports. And I went, and I was in choir and student council instead.
Oh, can you sing?
I used to be able to sing.
Okay.
Yeah. And
we may have Claire sing a little ditty.
Maybe after a couple of more gin and tonics.
More gin and tonics, please.
Yeah, but yeah, I was in choir. I had a solo once. That was fun. I was actually in a chamber choir where I wore a custom-made purple velvet, madrigal dress.
Wow.
It's in my other room if you want to see it later.
Like a magician?
No, madrigal is like a chamber singer, like a medieval style dress.
Okay.
It was incredible. Purple velvet custom medieval dress.
Incredible, amazing, or incredible, holy cow, that's crazy.
It was a combo. It was a combo. Anyway, so that's our backgrounds.
That's all our backgrounds entail.
Yeah, I did not play sports, and so when I started CrossFit, it was like sort of a major shock to the system. Although I was a rafter. I was a raft guide, and I was a backpacker, so I was like, quote unquote active, but you start CrossFit and you're like, shit, I thought I was in shape. And now everything hurts all the time.
Yeah. You guys have no idea. Even after, well, you probably do have an idea if you do CrossFit. But if you're thinking of trying CrossFit, don't feel intimidated by our words right now.
But know that no matter how in shape you think you are,
there's always a weighted vest.
There's always a weighted vest. It's just a different kind of like getting your butt kicked.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's one of the things I absolutely love about CrossFit too, is you're always challenged, and there's always days where I'm like, how can I still be sore after doing it for so many years?
Well, and it's like, you know, have you seen that thing that says like, it doesn't get easier, you just get better? Well, like with CrossFit, it doesn't actually even get easier.
No.
Because the better you get, the harder they make it for you.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah. It never ends.
No.
It never ends.
It does not. So another fun fact about Joy that I'm going to disclose to you all right now is that Joy is a vegan. Yeah? So, which is pretty much like the opposite of everyone else in the CrossFit world who just like eats as much bacon as possible all the time.
Yeah.
And so I just am kind of curious how long have you been a vegan, and why is being a vegan an important thing to you?
Well, I think anyone who eats animals is horrible. No, I'm kidding.
I don't know, guys. She had a pretty serious face on her there.
I totally just said Claire.
I'm like, okay. Anyway.
As Brandon cooks fish out there, it's all good. So I went through the gamut of, like, eating this way, eating that way, whatever, for years, and I had, I'm going to disclose, I had digestive problems for a couple of years that I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me, and then I started, whatever. I think some of it also led to, like, panic attacks. It was really, really weird. Mm-hmm. So, like, my doctors could never figure out what was going on. And I just started reading and doing a bunch of research, and I saw this woman, Chris Carr, on Oprah, talking about her health journey and her recovery from, well, it shouldn't say recovery, but kind of like maintenance from incurable cancer.
Oh, wow.
So she lives with stage 4 cancer to this day, 10 years later, and she...
Is that a thing? I didn't know you could live with stage 4 cancer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, it's a very rare form of cancer that she has on her liver and her lungs. And so I was just taken aback by this story. I was like, this is insane. This woman is like, found this cure for her. No, well, it's not a cure. She still lives with it, but found this way of life. Anyway, so I did a bunch of reading. Her blog we'll put in the show notes too. I need to take some notes on that. Her website is chriscarr.com, and she sustains life with plant-based diet. So I did all this research, and I was like, I'm just going to try it just for the hell of it and see. And totally changed my life. So I felt better. I had more energy. My digestive issues went away. My anxiety went away, for the most part. And then I just decided to stay with it. And I'm not one of those people that it never feels good to me to be like, you have to do it this way or you have to do it. That's never been how I've lived my life. So I think people really get this weird vibe for me if they find out I'm vegan, because they're like, oh, you must be rigid and think that everyone else is bad. And that's just not me. That's just not who I am. I don't care what you eat. I advocate for a healthier diet, whatever that is. And I think there's never going to be one right way.
No.
Like, there's always going to be, like, someone says, oh, and then next year we're going to find this new diet that comes out. So, for me, it's just trying to be the best that I can and eat. I follow the acid alkaline, like the pH balance.
Okay.
So, eating foods that are alkaline versus acidic.
Okay.
And, yeah, it's all good.
Cool.
And I really am very aware of not being like the cupcake vegan.
Right.
Because there's people be like, oh, there's not many options for, there are tons of options for vegans. You just, it's like anything. Once you get used to it, it becomes habit, and that's all you know. So you know what to eat, what not to eat. And everyone's like, oh, what restaurant should we go to? I'm like, pick a restaurant. I will find something on the menu. Trust me. You know, it just doesn't matter.
Totally.
And I'm just not, I don't.
So how long have you been vegan?
Since 2008.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Like, pretty strict.
Yeah.
So, but here's the other thing. I'm just not one of those people either that, like, if I go to a restaurant and they're going to, like, throw some cheese on a salad, but it's mixed in.
You're going
to,
like, have a fit.
I'm just not.
Right.
I'm just going to be like, I'll eat around it, or, oh my God, I'll eat some effing cheese. Like, it's okay, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's me.
Well, fantastic.
And this koozie is working.
Well, I'm so glad. Is it keeping your beer chilled?
Just amazing.
It's amazing.
Pretty awesome. I
might. Yeah, that was like the one. I was an intern for a magazine in northeastern Vermont, so essentially Canada. One time I got lost driving and ended up in Canada. It was a problem. And that
koozie, I got lost and I ended up in Canada.
Yeah,
that's gonna be the name of this episode. Right?
So that's like how, like, in the middle of nowhere I lived. Oh my gosh, it was a mess. I was an intern, so I was like, I think I got paid a little bit, or I might have been totally unpaid. And those koozies were something, like, one of the very few cool things that I took out of that experience. Don't live in the middle of nowhere in Vermont.
No.
It's no fun in there.
No. You may end up in Canada.
You may end up in Canada. I lived across the street from a wool mill.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah. That's a...
That was fun. Anyway.
I'm just picturing, like... sheep and, like, shearing. And
it pretty much was, like, literal lumberjacks everywhere.
Oh, okay.
And everyone was like, oh, I was there in the fall, and everyone was like, oh, the fall in Vermont is so beautiful. What they do not tell you is that Vermont is a temperate rainforest, So it rains. It's rainier there than it is in Seattle. And no one told me that. And I got there and I was like, what the F is this? I distinctly remember like day number two, I woke up and I was like, wow, this is the first time in my life I've ever woken up to rain more than one day in a row. Like, this is so amazing. And then like a week later, I was like,
so amazing. Then you're like, what the hell is this?
And a week later, I was like, why?
Why are we still raining?
Why do I live here? So I moved quickly. I left very quickly. But anyway,
that's what
I
like for real, lumberjacks meaning like, plaid shirts and
oh my gosh, like the wool factory, the wool factory, like legit. It was beards? Like flannel.
Beards.
I had to
a lot of beards.
I had yes, I had to, but not in like a sexy hipster beard way.
Oh.
In like a hairy, like there's something living in your beard way. And I would
I
have
may
to,
see
like,
a small animal at some point.
Yeah,
while I'm talking
like
to
is
you.
There a beard, a bird in there somewhere? But so I
but there is the sexy indie beard.
There is.
Right?
That was not yeah, I no. wish that had been the thing there.
Yeah.
But I would have to leave for work early every day because there was like a really high chance that I was gonna get caught behind a logging truck and they go really slow. And yeah. So I would just like have to drive to work. I know I went you know, I worked and lived on this two lane highway.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I would have to leave in some time to get stuck behind the logging truck.
Yeah, logs and lumbers.
It was hilarious. Anyway, so that's where that came from.
Anyway,
fun fact.
We digress. That was an amazing story.
Yes. all right. What else do you want to know? Let's see. Excuse me.
Are we done asking me questions?
I guess. I mean, we can talk.
I've been talking a lot, Claire. I've been talking a lot.
But it's all just such important things, like about the fact that you were a professional ballroom dancer.
You know, I wish, I know I have video of that somewhere, but it's one of those things where, like, back in the day.
You're going to need to call your mom and get that.
And you know what the other thing is, you guys? I had, when you're, if you guys know anything about ballroom dancing.
Just in case.
It is all about the leader. So if you have a really good leader,
uh-huh.
You're golden. So, like, just remember that next time you're watching Dancing with the Stars is if whoever wins has a really amazing leader. Because I'm guaranteed those famous people don't know what the freak they're doing. anyway, so the leader in my class, well, first of all, it was a college class that we took to do this, like, then we did, like, a team of people who competed, right? So the person...
So you got college credit for this, is what you're saying?
Yes, I got college credit for this. Absolutely. I just remember picking up my ballroom. I think I still have my ballroom dancing shoes. Ugh. Anyway, maybe I should bring those and maybe take pictures of them with, and I can do a little ditty for you.
Oh
but the person that was the best in the class, and I wanted to be with the best person in the class, was about 5 feet tall.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So and since you guys can't see us, how tall are you? Like
I'm 5'8".
Eight.
Yeah. Yeah. And but it didn't matter because I'm like I'm not gonna be. Set up with a shitty partner, so I wanted to be with him because I'm like, he's an amazing dancer.
What's the guy's name? Tommy Toon or whatever, the guy who was like kind of invented Broadway ballroom dancing. He was like the big, anyway.
Yeah.
He was quite little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I think we got docked points actually, which still makes me bitter because we were aesthetically not cute because I was like tall and he was a little short, but he was such a good dancer that I'm like, I have to be with him.
That's
and it's just not fun to dance with a partner who doesn't know what the hell they're doing. So anyway. Yeah. Maybe I can find a picture. So if I do find a picture, you guys are not allowed to laugh at the fact that he is, like...
8 inches, approximately, shorter than you. That's amazing. Oh, my God.
Okay. So, moving on. We are going to, I'm going to ask Claire some questions because I've been talking a lot and we don't need to listen to me. Yeah. Claire, we all know CrossFit can be frustrating at times. Let's dig into the most frustrating part of CrossFit for you.
In general, or like the most frustrating moment?
What? Anything. What came to your mind when I said that?
Let's see here. Okay, so for those of you who read my blog, and hopefully that's most of you because otherwise you're missing out.
You really are. I love Claire's blog. I love it.
You know that I am not, like, neither of us are, but especially Joy is a lot, let's just put this out there. Joy is much better at CrossFit than I am. So.
Just because I have large shoulders, just kidding,
and can run and do pull-ups and handstand push-ups, and anyway, so those of you who read my blog will know I do not do CrossFit because I am good at it. That is, I'll just say it that way. So there are a lot of things about CrossFit that are frustrating. What's the most frustrating thing? Oh my gosh, that's a hard question. I think probably the most frustrating thing. I may have to think about that for a second.
Did you have, like, ever had, like, a moment where you, like, almost cried? I know you did.
Oh, I've cried. Oh, I've cried.
Yeah, I know you
did. I cried once during this WOD that was, like, it was supposed to be a rest day. It was, like, we had a really, really hard week. And yeah. TJ, by the way, is the head trainer and owner at our gym. We'll talk about him a lot.
CrossFitJ.com. We're going to actually have him as a guest, too. And we're going to, like...
He may or may not know that yet.
He doesn't know. He does know it. I've informed him and warned him. And we will be interviewing him about the ins and outs of owning a CrossFit gym. And we're going to, like, pump information from him that he probably doesn't want to admit. But I'm going to be like, what's the most frustrating thing about members?
Who's your least favorite member?
Who's your least favorite? And don't say me.
It's going to be Chris Dykes. Yeah. Sorry. Anyway.
Inside joke.
So, when we had a really, really hard week, and he was like, okay, he programmed this WOD that was just like a run around the block a couple times with, like, at each block you stopped, you did, like, lunges or burpees.
Yeah, that day. I totally remember that.
And it was like, he had said, like, you know, this is going to be an easier one, like, take it easy. And it was the hardest thing for me because I suck at running. And I was just a full lap or more behind everyone else. The coach who was working that night, Mike, ended up coming out and running with me because it was, like, the middle of the night. We're running through an alleyway. And he's,
you
like...
You wrote about this.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, and I remember this post.
And he was like, I just don't want you to, like, get, like, abducted from this alleyway. And it was just like, this is supposed to be easy. And for me, this has been so frustrating. So that was hard. But it was just, like... Really, it was like, you know, when you see a WOD on the board and you're like, oh, this isn't going to be so bad. Like, that's pretty much a guarantee that it's going to be miserable.
Yeah.
Because you're not mentally ready for, like, the toughness of it. So that was, I think, what was hard about that, really, was that it was like, I thought it sort of felt like it should have been easy for me, that it was, like, expected that this was going to be an easy thing to do. And it just really was not easy at all. But I think more in general, I would say the most frustrating thing about CrossFit would be kind of just, like, feeling that you are, like, the self kind of comparison.
Oh, totally.
Like, cycle that you get in. And I think that it's, you know, like, especially, I know that most gyms feel this way, and I think that everyone sort of thinks that their gym is the best about this, but the people at our gym are super, super supportive. You know, I would never walk in and have someone say, like, what the hell just happened there? That was terrible, you know.
Oh, my God. And if you go to a gym like that, leave immediately. Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. If you've ever been told that hey, you just did a terrible job, like.
That's for goddamn ridiculous.
Yeah, you should just leave. But, so, I think that, like, the most frustrating thing is just, like, feeling like you, like, me personally, feeling like I still find myself in this pattern of, like, of comparing myself and thinking, like, oh, well, it doesn't, like. Even if I feel like I did well, it doesn't count because I didn't do as well as this person. Or even if I feel like I did well, it doesn't count because I went, you know, because I modified.
Yeah.
So just kind of like that mental battle, I would say, because I feel like it's like two steps forward, one step back in a big way.
I don't know if I've talked to one person that does CrossFit who doesn't do that to themselves.
Right.
Like, I can relate to that. And I've had a couple people who are like, there's like a constant battle of I didn't do enough, or I didn't do it fast enough, or I could be running more, and... It's right. Freaking frustrating.
Well, and there's definitely a fine line between, like, being competitive and being, and, like, comparing yourself. Because it's, like, there's definitely a healthy level of competition, I think, in all gyms.
Yeah.
Where it's, like, you find people or you identify with people who you know have similar strengths to you or similar body types or whatever. So you can look at them and say, like, use that person to, like, push you and think, like, you know, I'm going to pace with them this WOD. Or,
right.
You know, they're going 5 pounds heavier, so, you know, like, I can go 5 pounds heavier. And but... There's a very fine line between that and looking at someone and being like, well, I have to beat them, or, well, they're going 5 pounds heavier, and even though I'm tired and I know this is a weak lift for me, I have to go 5 pounds heavier because I don't want them to be in, you know, ahead of me. And
right.
Yeah. So I definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We can get caught up, especially too, as you get to know all the people in your gym. Mm-hmm. And if you see scores, I get caught up on the stupid score.
Right.
It's just
the whiteboard is totally whiteboard. It's like a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Because, like, on the one hand, it's nice to look up at it and be able to think, like, you know, like, look at your times from the week or, like, track yourself and just kind of think, like, you know, I was able to do so much better in this WOD than I thought I was. But then you also walk in, and especially, like, we always do the last WOD of the day.
Yeah.
So we're looking at all the time from the whole rest of the day. And you're looking at it and you're thinking, like, oh, well, you know, this person was in the 6 a.m. class and they got this time, and I know that I can pace them, so if, you know, like, I really want to get that time or better, and then, you know, whatever. You don't, or...
And I go to the 5:30 a.m. class, so we're, like, setting the... Mike calls us, like, we set the standard, and I'm like,
no, well, and you guys are a fast class, too. Like, yeah, guys really are.
We're pretty fast, but I also am like, I don't have that mind screw to, you know, look at other people's scores, so we're kind of like, well, we're just doing what we're doing.
Right.
But I kind of love/hate it because I go back to, like, you know, being in fifth grade and being, like, comparing myself to everyone. And I mean, but I get it. I get it. And that's all, I mean, every CrossFit gym's going to have that. But, you know, it's like, well, it's how we take it. It's how we take it.
It can be healthy if you look at your score and think, like, you know, like, look at the person who came in before you and think, like, oh, I really want to get that, you know, and that helps push you on that last lap. And, you know, it helps you, like, you know, think about just, like, going that much better in your head. But at the same time, like, I know, for example, like, you know, to bring Brandon into this a little bit, I guess, he's a really, really great runner.
Brandon is her fiancé.
My fiancé, Brandon. That, yeah. He's, like, he's 6 feet tall, and he's amazing.
He's all legs.
And he ran cross country legs in McLegerson. High school, and, yeah, ran a lot in college, and... So when there's a why that's a lot of running, he'll come in and people will automatically say, like, oh, here comes the time of the day, or, like, oh, here comes the time to beat, you know, or even, like, the coaches will say, like, oh, okay, here's your time to beat, you know, like, here's the best time of the day, and, like, we expect you to get better than this. And it can be frustrating because sometimes he just walks in and is like, what if I am having an off day? You know, like, what if I'm just in here to, like, just kind of, like, get off the couch today? You know, like, what if I don't want to, you know, run a 4-minute mile today?
Yeah.
And it's like... You know, so that, and I think in that way, and I know there are a couple other people at the gym who experience that, who have certain skill sets, and so when there are WADs that are programmed that play to those skill sets, and they walk in, and people are like, oh, you know, you're, like, they just expect them to blow everyone else out of the water, and it's like, what if I'm having a bad day?
Right,
you know, like,
right.
Or not even a bad day, but just, like, what if I'm not in here today to do that?
Yeah, and I wonder, like, it'll be interesting to talk to TJ, who's, again, the owner. It'll be interesting to talk and see, like, how they view the members, and, like, if we... I don't know if they push us in that way, because there's times I don't know what they're thinking sometimes. Right. You know, I'm like, what do you guys, did I do a good job? Did I not do a good job?
Right.
But it's like, we're like looking for validation, and that's all on us. You know, that's all on us to be like, we're just being competitive with ourselves.
So. Yeah, totally.
Awesome. Okay. So next question is, off of the CrossFit stuff for a moment, what is the best life lesson you've learned so far?
In my life?
In your life.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so this is going to be a tangent that leads back into this. When I was in high school, my senior year of high school, we made these things called soch books, which stands for, it was a sociology class. We made these scrapbooks. And they were basically like a scrapbook of our life up until that point. And it was just a super interesting project because it was like the first time we're all 17, 18. It was like the first time that we were really like forced to like look at our lives and like pull things out of them.
Yeah.
I think. And so one of the questions was, what is the best piece of advice you've ever gotten? And I decided that my best piece of advice I'd ever gotten was from my mom, which was that you don't have to say everything you think, which sounds like kind of silly on the front end because like I talk a lot. And so I think she kind of was telling me that like on the one hand to say like, okay, stop talking. You don't have to say everything you think. But I also think that it has helped me a lot in life to just, like, think about the value of the way I communicate. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think, like, okay, you know, like, you don't have to say everything you think in the sense of you don't have to talk all the time or you don't have to bring everything up, but also in the sense of, like, if what you are thinking or if what you're wanting to say does not add value, not just to the conversation, but does not, like, in some way better the whole situation or what you're talking about, like, then maybe it's not really worth A, saying, but B, investing your time and energy into.
Yeah.
So it's like, so I don't know. I think that would be.
I like that. Can I piggyback off that? Because someone said something like,
totally.
It kind of reminds me of, are you waiting? Let's see. Hold on. What's that saying where it's like, are you waiting to listen? Or are you waiting to talk? Or are you really listening?
Yeah.
Like, are you really listening to someone? Or are you just waiting to talk? So if you're just like, listening to someone but not really, really listening to them and you're just waiting to say the next thing.
Right.
I feel like this is the same way.
Totally. Too, and I think, like, it's like, yeah, it just makes you sort of, like, think more about, like, your conversations with people. And I think that conversations with people are really, like, you know, like, on the one hand, it's obviously so commonplace and so day-to-day, but on the other hand, it's, like, it totally is how you are represented to the world, like, how you communicate. And it was interesting. So when I, right after I graduated from college, I graduated a semester early, but I had never studied abroad. And
smarty,
so I
smarty went pants? To, well, were you like smarty pants?
No, I went to school in state and I was like, I went to Boulder. So I grew up in Boulder and I went to CU and I was like, I have to get out of here. So I took night class and like,
yeah,
just got out of there. And so I, right after I graduated, I moved, well, not moved. I went to Argentina for 3 months. And basically, like, studied abroad, but outside of, like, I wasn't getting college credit. And it was really interesting because I went down there to learn to speak Spanish. And it was really interesting because I realized that with this second language, I had to pay so much attention to listening that I couldn't be thinking about what I wanted to say until I was done listening. Because I couldn't, like, I didn't know the language well enough to be able to do both at the same time.
Yeah.
And it totally changed the way I communicated because it was like, I had to be totally focused on what was going on in front of me before I could start to think. And I mean, that was like, I had to be focused on the literal words because I was like, what does that word mean?
Yeah.
But it would, I don't know. It was just interesting. So
I like that.
Yeah. I would say the other biggest life lesson I've learned, I've talked about this in my blog a little bit, but I did a Knowles trip in 2009. And for those of you who are not familiar with Knowles, it's sort of like Outward Bound. And most people are familiar with Outward Bound. And I did a month-long backpacking and canoeing trip in the middle of the Yukon Territory, which is in Canada, not Alaska. And it's a long story that maybe it might be for another day, but I just learned a ton about my own capacity to pretty much control the way that I react to things. And we just ended up in like, I mean, very long story short, we ended up on an experimental route that was in no way like the trip we thought we were going to go on. So we spent 2.5 weeks pushing and pulling our canoes through knee-deep, ankle-deep, freezing cold water instead of paddling, which was what we thought we were going to be doing. And so every day we would wake up, we would put on literally frozen socks and boots, and we would walk through this freezing cold water all day long. And it sounds horrible. It just sounds terrible. But, you know, when I look back on it, it was absolutely the most valuable experience of my life because it taught me, like, you are totally in control of your – and there's this quote that I love that says, basically, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it.
Yeah.
And that was – yeah, I learned that, like, very, very, very firsthand.
I love that one. Mm-hmm. I love that one.
What about you?
Best advice?
Or, like, your biggest life lesson you've ever learned?
Biggest life lesson?
You can start with best advice if it's pertinent.
Well, I think, I'm going to say the biggest life lesson is, because it just happened recently, is that sometimes you just have to say what is.
Mm-hmm.
And by that, I just mean you can't really get emotional about stuff sometimes. You just have to say what is and not, like, freak out about it when communicating with people. And then kind of piggybacking on that is, I think some people are born with this lesson, and I wish I was one of those people, but I wasn't, is to not care what people think. And I know that sounds so cliche, but that's just something I've probably in the past year have really mastered. And by mastered, I really mean that I don't care. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to be such a people pleaser. I used to be so, what did I say the wrong, the second guesser? And I'm just like, so done with that. And that was, I think that's one of the best life lessons if you can get over that.
Right.
It's such a gift. It takes so much time.
Right. And it takes so much
energy to like think about what other people are thinking all the time. And I know there's like a good study out there and I wish I knew the exact percentages, but I know it's something like people only think about other people for like 5 minutes and then they go back to thinking about themselves.
And thinking about what other people are thinking about them.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like we're all just all the time about what other people are thinking about us.
No one's thinking about anyone.
Nobody's thinking about everyone else.
Right.
Just that they're,
yeah.
And so another thing that Joy and I have in common is that we both have some major anxiety issues.
Yep.
And like sometimes in a funny way and sometimes in like a serious, like this is actually a problem way.
Have you ever had a panic attack?
I have one on Monday, actually.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like a full-on panic attack?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like stay home from work.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So we can relate to that. And for those of you with anxiety out there, bless you, because we live it and breathe it. And
are we allowed to swear on this podcast?
Yeah.
Great.
And carry meds.
Yeah. It's true.
It's the truth. This is truth, people.
So that's going to be fun to talk about later.
Yeah. And maybe why we do. Yeah, that'll be another, the anxiety episode.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to a, I guess, slightly more, surface question.
Okay. We're going to do what? A few more questions and then we're going to wrap up?
Yeah, I'd say so. What is your favorite benchmark wad?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot because I don't really know them by heart.
Well, but, okay, you don't have to, like, it's not, like, every single one ever. So, your favorite would theoretically come to mind.
I really... well, okay, I recently did Murph. I really like Murph. Is that a hero? But you call that a hero, right?
Yeah, but I think that still counts as a benchmark.
Does it?
What's now, your favorite, what's like your favorite it... girl? Please don't say Karen.
I want to say Cindy, but as we're talking, I need to look it up.
Cindy is like the pull-ups, push-ups, squats, like air squats. It's like 10. We just did it the other day. Yes,
I really do like Cindy.
Okay.
Because I feel, I like, I really like just, and then I also like, what's the one with the thrusters?
Fran?
Is it?
Wait, the rowing and the thrusters or the thrusters and the pull-ups?
Thrusters, pull-ups.
Really?
Is that Fran?
You don't know that's Fran? It's Fran. What's the one that is everyone constantly talks about at all times?
I like
Fran. You like
Fran? Yeah, I do. I just love
people don't thrusters. Like
I like thrusters. I like thrusters. I like, yeah. It's and then I like running. So I'm going to say that hero wad we just did, which I just.
Do you like Kelly?
Which
one? That's one with four, it's like three rounds. No, it's more than that. It's five rounds of a 400-meter run, some box jumps, and some wall balls.
I'll say yes, it's, because I like all of those.
Okay,
because
it's the only first time I threw up in CrossFit. Oh. I can't stand that one. Because I hate running. I cannot stand thrusters.
Yeah.
Wall balls, I'm... Like, it's not even that I don't like wall balls. I'm so bad at them.
Well, you said you've eaten a few wall balls
so many
in your
wall
time.
Balls.
So,
yeah, it's horrible. And then the other day I realized, actually, so I'm also terrible at volleyball, and I think they're related.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
There's a parallel. There's a parallel. We've drawn a relationship.
I think... What's my favorite benchmark quad? I think I'm going to have to go with... I really like Cindy, too. But I also kind of like Jackie.
Which one's Jackie?
It's like you start out by rowing
a
bunch.
I'm so bad. I don't know
You row, and then you do thrusters, but with an empty bar, and then you do pull-ups. It's that one that we did.
Maybe that's the one I like.
Okay,
it's an empty bar thruster.
Did you do the nutrition challenge last May?
Yes.
It was that one.
Yes.
Is that the one you like?
Yes.
Okay, because Fran is the really heavy thrusters. It's like the 21-15-9.
No.
Where everyone throws up.
No.
Okay.
I'm not down with throwing.
No, I was going to say, like, that's nobody's favorite.
Yeah. But I do enjoy a good thruster.
That's fair. All right. That's me a tattoo, probably. I enjoy a good thruster. Anyway. I don't know about you, but I don't know how much more interesting things I have to say today.
I actually have to... Okay, we'll wrap it up in a few minutes, but I want to talk about our blog really quick.
Oh, yeah.
I want to know if there's... Because we both blog pretty regularly, so if you haven't figured that out, go to Claire's blog, the Ascent blog.
Ascent blog,
technically. Ascent, A-S-C-E-N-T.
Yes.
Blog. .com.
Yes.
joyintheday.com. Claire, sometimes there's people who don't like to say nice things to us, and to that I say, I don't care what you think. Because I learned my life lesson, and
right.
And we don't care. What negative things have you seen, or have you received a negative comment?
Right. It's so funny, because honestly, this is going to sound kind of like, I feel like I'm like Gretchen Wieners right now, being like, it's not our fault that, I, you know, it's like, it's not my fault everyone likes me.
That was a Mean Girls reference for those of you who haven't seen the Mean Girls movie, which
you probably
is
should.
Gretchen Wieners.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not my fault that people love me.
Right.
It's not my fault that I'm so popular.
Yeah, it's not my fault that I'm so popular. I have not really gotten that many,
okay,
like, really negative comments. I occasionally will get people... who say things like, well, so I have one post that I posted once about, like, at-home CrossFit workouts. And I occasionally get people who write on that, like, you shouldn't do this without supervision. You know, and they, like, get kind of mad. Like, I can't believe you're posting this. If you were a real CrossFitter, you would know. And it's like, okay, I agree that if but it's like, if you're doing push-ups at home, like, I'm going to go ahead and say that most people can probably figure out how to do a push-up.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I'm not, like, super worried about people ending up in the ER because they're doing my at-home workouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I haven't really ever had anyone who, like, totally just was like, you suck. Which
not
I
yet.
Guess I'm...
Not yet. We're going to get that because I'm sure there's going to be...
Everything like, why?
It's a backlash of
yeah.
People. No. we're pretty positive people, so if people say negative things, we tend to, like, just put a positive twist on it anyway.
Right.
So we're like, oh, awesome, thanks for the feedback.
Right, I'm so glad you brought that up.
And then they get mad because they just want to live in their negative land.
Negative land.
Our positivity just overshadows everything. Okay, what else? Any last questions?
Do you have any? No. Any bad? No, none?
Not yet. Not yet. Not yet, I say.
Yes.
I'm waiting for that troll on the internet to, like, just come by and be like...
It'll totally happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I think that's pretty much covers the basics.
Okay.
I'm just excited that, you know, I think that it's important... We started kind of this podcast. I mean, I think we meant to talk about this a little bit, but we are starting this podcast mostly because the podcast world doesn't really have, I mean, it has one or two CrossFit podcasts, but they seem to really be geared towards A, dudes, B, competitors and coaches who are like really, you know, are looking for training tips and are looking for that kind of thing. And, you know, not that if you're a dude, we really, you know, we don't want you to feel
like don't feel left out. Like, lesson on it. We're actually going to, if you have relationship questions, we can answer them for you. I mean, like, take advantage. Like, the girls are here for you. So, yeah, write us. We welcome the dudes listening.
I do think that, in a way, it's definitely important to, like, have that sort of female connection a little bit in a world that, I mean, I go to the WODs and I'm still the only girl a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, not that, you know, it's like, not in, like, kind of a feminist way, but in more of a way of just, like, you know, we're out here and we're struggling and, you know, we have tough days and we go in and, you know, and when we get PMS, we cheat on paleo and, you know, or whatever.
And we buy shirts that don't fit because your freaking shoulders are so huge. And then I put on pants and the pockets stick out because my ass and my thighs are getting bigger.
Right.
because they're muscular. And then, like, I see, like, you know, articles are like, does CrossFit make you bulky? And that just drives me crazy.
Right.
So, I mean, all those things that we...
Right. And so I just think it's important to have a place to talk about that.
Yeah. We need to air this out, ladies. So
here we are.
Here we are. So this podcast is for everyone. We will be talking mostly about women's stuff and CrossFit. However, as you have noticed today, we've gone off on fabulous tangents that are really funny and hilarious.
I hope.
We will have a Twitter up, the Twitter.
Yeah, we do.
It's going to be @GirlsGoneWad, website.
GirlsGoneWadPodcast.com.
And Facebook will be up as well, Girls Gone Wad.
Yeah.
In the near future. So this is episode 1, Girls Gone Wad. Rate us 5 stars on iTunes. Please share with your friends. Please write us at...
GirlsGoneWad@gmail.com.
And Twitter, Girls Gone Wad, and Facebook, and website, again, is GirlsGoneWadPodcast.com. So drop us a note. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.